Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The full salvation that we receive in Christ is not a simple thing. Yes, we have been forgiven and eternally secured to be with the Lord. And that in and of itself sounds quite simple, but our salvation brings with it much more than simply this. For example, do you know that you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God? Well, this is a direct quote from Colossians 3 and verse 3. So what does it mean for our life to be hidden with Christ in God? Well, we'll find out a bit more today, but for sure it means that when we receive Christ into us as life at the moment of regeneration or rebirth, Christ then hides us in himself and brings us into God as our realm and our sphere. Still think salvation is a simple thing? Well, Bob Danker has joined us for more wonderful fellowship from Colossians. Bob, welcome back to the program.
It's always good to be with you on the broadcast, Chris. As you said, we're going to consider something in this broadcast that is really marvelous, something that will bring us into another realm.
Bob, let me set a little bit of historical context for our listeners. In 1979, Witness Lee gave this exhaustive training or this exhaustive life study on the book of Colossians. And then for the following few months, he went around the country and gave a series of conferences where he, I believe, was seeing more and uttering more than he saw when he gave the actual life study. And this brings us now to the last 5 messages in this life study. And these were the last 5 messages in the final conference that he gave. And I think he hits the high peak at this conference. Do you agree?
I agree, Chris. We're really on the high peak of the vision that one can see in the Bible.
Bob, we're talking about, again, our place in God in this program. At least that's one of the aspects. And this is an objective fact. It's one of the true elements of the Christian faith. Paul presents it certainly in a factual and objective way, but his burden always seems to have been to bring the believers into the experience and enjoyment of these facts. How is this going to be evident today, Bob, in this message about our being hidden with Christ in God?
Well, Paul is a marvelous writer, Chris, as you pointed out. In this book of Colossians, which is composed of only 4 chapters, in the first 2 chapters, Paul gives us a marvelous revelation of the all-inclusive, all-extensive, wonderful Christ. And we may say, well, this is a wonderful vision, but how does it affect my living? And Paul is merciful to us, and he's very faithful, because in the last 2 chapters of this book, he brings us into the realm of our daily life. He wants us to apply this vision that we have seen concerning Christ to our daily living. And the first thing he says when he gets to chapter 3 is, our life is hidden with Christ in God. God is the realm and the sphere of our living as Christians. We should live not in the realm of morality, ethics, philosophy, culture, religion, or any of these things, no matter how good they may be. Our realm, the sphere in which we should live, is just the person, God himself.
Bobby points out in one of these messages that society needs all of these things, the religion, philosophy, culture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God needs, for his purposes, us to be fully occupied with him as the replacement to all these things. And that's really the sphere that we're talking about, isn't it?
That's right, Chris.
Okay, let's join Witness Lee, Bob. We want to pick up a couple more verses from chapter 3. Verse 1 says, if therefore you were raised together with him, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth, the very things that you and I were just speaking of. Okay, let's go to Witness Lee.
Paul's word concerning our walk in the book of Colossians is based upon 5 points. To walk in God and be one with Christ in the things above. Then you will be under the renewing of the new man. And then practically the new man will be carried out by what? by the peace of Christ arbitrating in all of us. And then the word of Christ will inhabit us. And we have to persevere in prayer. This is the word concerning our Christian walk. It is absolutely different from all the teaching we heard in the past. You have to behave yourself. You have to improve. You have to be a good neighbor. You have to love others as much as yourself. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. I don't mean these are not in the Bible, but these points could be easily understood in a natural way. But all these 5 points, to walk in God and be one with Christ in all things above, to be under the renewing of the new man, to have the peace of Christ arbitrating in you and the word of Christ inhabiting you, and to persevere in prayer, these are not human language. These are not natural. Well, you may argue with me, brotherly, in these 2 chapters, don't you have wives? Don't you have husband? Don't you have children? Don't you have parents? Don't you have slaves, masters? Yes. But you have all this out of a natural concept. How could we husbands love our wives? We can never make it. Many of you sisters who have been wives for years, you realize the hardest thing is to be a wife. Once you would see the standard of God's requirements, you would say, I would give up. Right. I cannot. I just cannot. I can. But hallelujah. Yeah. You can, but he can.
Amen.
With you, there's no possibility. But with him, everything is possible. This is grace. What is grace? Grace that the very God comes into you to express himself, to represent himself, and even to live Christ.
Amen.
God comes into you to live Christ. You don't need to do it.
Bob, this is quite a contrast he presented us with here. Of course, we know, we're pretty familiar, I think, with the old thought, the old things we've heard for years and years about walking in Christ, and all based on this ethical and high moral behavior. But what he's talking about, or really what Paul is presenting here, related to our walk in Christ, is something altogether different and much higher, isn't it?
Yes, Chris. This doesn't mean, of course, that there's no moral standard presented in the Bible. Of course, the Bible does tell all the husbands to love their wives and all their wives to submit to their husbands. This is a requirement. But these requirements are put in the Bible not so that we will fulfill them in ourselves, but to show us that there is a requirement placed upon us by God which we simply cannot meet.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it.
Right.
We can't be the proper husband or the proper wife. The harder we try to be, the more we'll find out that we are just unable to meet the requirement that God has put on us. So fortunately, though, God has given us a way to meet his requirements, and that is to have our living in God, in him, and to open up our being so that he can enter into us and to live in us, to live the very life that his word commands us to live. This is really the secret. So as we'll see later on, Brother Lee will point out, there is a real secret to living the Christian life, and that is just to tell the Lord, I can't do it.
Right.
Then what does that do? That opens us up, and it gives him the way to come into us, to be everything to us, to do everything in us, so that we can live this life full of the enjoyment of Christ and all that he is to us.
Bob, I want to condition our listeners, I think, a little bit, because in my experience, and I would ask you yours, real light from God concerning the reality of all of these things we're talking about does not come all at once. It comes bit by bit. And we realize, especially at this point in the program, we're going to take a turn for the deeper, I would say, a little bit. And so I would just request our listeners, just bear with us. And we believe The Lord will open this to all of us, even though bit by bit. And if you don't get the whole thing in one 30-minute program, don't be discouraged and don't be disheartened, because we're going to stay on this line for the next several days. And we think there's a lot here for all of us.
I really encourage our listeners to stay with us. The light will come. They will see something.
Okay. For this next portion, we need to see two verses, really, two portions of verses in Colossians. In chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So that establishes absolutely concretely that Christ is now in us. In chapter 3, he says, "For you died," and this is how we opened the program today, "for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So Christ in us, and we with Christ in God. He'll put these two things together in this coming portion.
In chapter 3, it tells us that now we are with Christ in God. Firstly, Christ in us. Now, eventually, we are in God. Christ in us is our life. And we are now in God. God is our sphere. It's our realm. And we have Christ within as our life. And we have God without as our realm. In chapter 1, what's that? Christ in you. In chapter 3, what's here? We are in God. In chapter 1, Christ in you surely is for life. In chapter 3, we are in God. This surely for what? For our working. Christ in us is life. And God, in whom we are hid, is the realm, the sphere in whom we are living. But listen, by ourselves, we can never be in God. We are hid in God with Christ. Through Christ's incarnation, resurrection, we have been brought into God.
Amen.
Not only God has been route into us, but we have been brought into God.
Amen.
And there is a two-way traffic.
Yes.
Not only God has been route into us, but also we, the human beings, have been brought into God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, in chapter 1 of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does this indicate? This indicates God has been wrought into us. Because God has been wrought into us, so Christ in you.
Amen.
Christ today is in you. Because God, the triune God, has been wrought into you.
Amen.
Then in chapter 3, it indicates what? It indicates that we, the human beings, have been wrought into God.
Amen.
God is now in us as our life. And now we are now in God, having God as the realm for our living.
Amen.
Bob, I want to just pick up a phrase of one of his expressions here and ask you to use that as sort of your jump-off point here as we talk about this portion. And again, the two aspects, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and then us hidden with him in God. And he phrased it this way. He said there is a two-way traffic. Not only has God been wrought into us, but we, the human beings, have been brought into God. Marvelous expression, isn't it?
Marvelous expression, Chris. Actually, this is really what the Bible reveals, that God has come into us to be our life, to become our very intrinsic part of our being. This is what Witness Lee means when he says God has been wrought into us. That means he has been constituted into our being to be our life. This is one side of the traffic. But on the other side of the traffic, the Bible clearly reveals that we have been brought into God by Christ. At one time, God was not in man at all, but through the incarnation of Christ, God entered into humanity and became the very life of man. He became one with man. And then through the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, which is mentioned here in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us we have died with Christ and we have been raised with him. Through this process of our dying and being resurrected with Christ, Christ has brought us into God. And now God has become the very realm and the sphere in which we should live.
Mm.
This is a wonderful picture. We have God in us as our life, and we are in God as our realm. And this is the very place, not a physical place, surely, but a divine and mystical realm, which is God Himself, where we should have all the aspects of our daily life.
Okay, Bob, at this point in the program, we want to pick up this matter of the two-way traffic and from another angle. He's going to spend a fair amount of time in this final section today connecting what we're seeing here in Colossians chapter 3 with Hebrews chapter 7 and 8, where Christ is revealed in his heavenly ministry. Let me give our listeners a couple of verses that are a very important background here for this final section. Well, actually, I said 7 and 8. We do have one verse from chapter 4, verse 14. Says, having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. And then in chapter 7, verse 25, hence also he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, since he lives always to intercede for them. And chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the things which are being said, the chief point is this. We have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the holy places, even of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. And let me, Bob, for our listeners and for ourselves, connect this to what we've been seeing in Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on the things which are above, and not on the things which are on the earth. We're really going to get a look now into these things that are above, a view of Christ in the heavens, in his heavenly ministry.
You may ask, what is the Lord Jesus doing there in the heavens? Three portions of the word from Hebrews, showing you that today he is the high priest. And he's also the minister. He's the high priest interceding, exercising, practicing his priesthood. And he's also a minister. You must realize, as a priest, he is bringing every need of ours to God. And as a minister, he is bringing all the riches of God to us. In his intercession, he brings all our need to God as the high priest. In his ministry, he ministers all the riches of God into you. Well, let me illustrate to you. I would ask you, brothers, have you got married? You brothers have got married, right?
Right.
You be honest and tell us, it's hard to be a husband.
Right.
It's hard. I do believe, if not always, at least sometimes, you brothers did have prayed, Lord, I just cannot make it. I cannot make it to be a good husband. This is your need. You say, Lord, I cannot make it. Why, you see this? I tell you, the Lord Jesus is interceding for you, bringing you all you need to God right away. He is a minister to you. To God, for you, he is a priest. To you, for God, he is a minister. Right away within you, a deep conviction. Speaking, I can. This is Christ on the one hand being the priest, interceding for your need. And on the other hand, Christ being the minister, all the rich supply of life into you. I would encourage you to pray this way. Always tell the Lord, Lord, I cannot make it. This will provoke him to pray for you. As long as you would say, Lord, I just cannot be holy. Right away, the Lord Jesus would be interceding for you. While he would be interceding, he'll be ministering the riches of God into you. What is this? This is just the spiritual transmission, the spiritual transaction, the spiritual traffic between you and God through this mediation, that is Christ being your priest and being God's minister. Isn't this wonderful? These are the things above. The things above are just Christ there, interceding and ministering that he may be able to build up his body. It is through this kind of seeking of things above that the new man will be fully renewed. The new man practically comes into full existence through what? Through our seeking of the things above. And now we understand the things above are not golden street, pearl gaze, heaven mansion. The things above are what? Are Christ being the priest and Christ being the minister.
That was some utterance, and what a window into the heavenly activity. I do think, Bob, that one thing all of our listeners can relate to, I could as he was touching this matter, this example he gave, at the times where we seem to hit the bottom and our expression to the Lord is just, Lord, I cannot make it. Many times that's followed very quickly by this turnaround, at least in our inner aspiration. Is this your experience as well?
That's right, Chris. The more we realize that we cannot do it, and this is what God wants us to realize, most of the time we think we can do it, and so we live in the realm of religion or philosophy or culture,
yeah,
where everything depends on us. But then there are times when we just hit the bottom, as you said, or we hit the wall,
mm-hmm.
We realize we can't make it. Then this makes us desperate to go to the Lord and to confess to him, Lord, yeah, I just can't do it. I'm nothing. Then at this very moment, we experience the Lord as the high priest bringing us with our need to God. And at the same time, he comes to us from God as the heavenly minister to minister the riches of God into our being, to meet our need, to lift us up, and to cause us to have a kind of a transaction within our being. We realize we can make it, not by ourselves, but by the enjoyment of Christ in his heavenly ministry. And then our mind is set on these things which are above, which are the things related to Christ in his heavenly ministry. And we're no longer living on an earthly plane where we are doing everything, being everything, you know, trying to carry out everything that we think should be done. We're in another realm. We're enjoying the heavenly ministry of Christ. And in this realm is where Christ is building up his body and is renewing the new man. And this is where God wants us to be.
Well, I think we fairly warned our listeners that we were going to be covering some high points, and I think our program has turned out to be exactly that, Bob. But boy, there has been a measure of light. Again, I would say to our listeners that we won't see these things all at once. I think we're all feeling like children being led into territory we've never spent much time in before. So this is an adventure, a heavenly adventure for all of us, Bob. I'm very happy that you could share it with us.
Oh, I'm so happy to enter into this adventure with you and with all our listeners, Chris.
And really, we're scaling the heights at this point. So stay with us for these coming programs. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.